This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text number 33. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Where is my well-wisher, Uncle Vidura, and Mother Gandhari, who is very afflicted due to all her son's demise? My uncle Dhritarashtra was also very mortified due to the death of all his sons and grandsons. Undoubtedly, I am very grateful. Did he therefore take my offenses very seriously and along with his wife drown himself in the Ganges? Purport. The Pandavas, especially Maharaj Yudhishthira and Arjuna, anticipated the after effects of the battle of Kurukshetra, and therefore Arjuna declined to execute the fighting. The fight was executed by the will of the Lord, but the effects of the family aggrievement, as they had thought of it before, had come to be true. Maharaj Yudhishthira was always conscious of the great plight of his uncle Dhritarashtra and aunt Gandhari. Shishirada Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishigonitai ki. Maharaj Yudhishthira was always conscious of the great plight of his uncle Dhritarashtra and aunt Gandhari, and therefore he took all possible care of them in their old age and aggrieved condition. When therefore he could not find his uncle and aunt in the palace, naturally his doubts arose, and he conjured that they had gone down to the water of the Ganges. He thought himself ungrateful because when the Pandavas were fatherless, Maharaj Dhritarashtra had given them all royal facilities to live, and in return he had killed all the Dhritarashtra's sons in the battle of Kurukshetra. As a pious man, Maharaj Yudhishthira took into account all his unavoidable misdeeds, and he never thought of the misdeeds of his uncle and company. Dhritarashtra had suffered the effects of his own misdeeds by the will of the Lord, but Maharaj Yudhishthira was thinking only of his own unavoidable misdeeds. That is the nature of a good man, a devotee of the Lord. A devotee never finds fault with others, but tries to find his own and thus rectify them as far as possible. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Taking the blessings, permission of everyone here, so we can say a few words to help us understand this particular verse. Vanchakalpa tribhyasya kripa sindubhyai vacha patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So this verse reminds me of a famous song. Where's your mama gone? Where's your mama gone? So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he woke up and he was wondering, where's my uncle gone? So it's come as a little bit of a shock to him that when he's finished his morning duties, he's gone to go on to pay respects to his elders, and he's found out they're not anywhere to be found. So in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that Yudhishthira Maharaj is always a well-wisher of everyone, And he only sees the good in others. So that's quite a tall order, to try and only see the good in others. Unfortunately, the human psyche is, we tend to find faults in others. Example, if you have like a white sheet, and then if you have one little black dot on it, what will the mind concentrate on? The white dot. So psychologically, we won't see the white sheet. We'll only see the black dot. Sorry, the black dot. Excuse me. I'm just seeing if you're awake or not. So that is the nature of, unfortunately, the nature of us, that we only find faults. But Maharaj Dhritarashtra, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was different. He only saw the good. So I was thinking this morning, we've talked a lot about the Vanaprastha, the plight of Dhritarashtra. So we thought we could try and understand a little bit about who Maharaj Yudhishthira is. What makes him this kind of personality? He is a devotee, the topmost devotee. And I'm presuming we all want to become devotees here today, yeah? Anybody doesn't want to become a devotee? Hands up. No? Okay. So we're on the same page here. We are on the same path here. So we are all trying to be devotees of Krishna. So then the nature of us, we always want to look to someone who we can get guidance to. Someone who we can get some inspiration. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is that great devotee. We can get some guidance and we can learn from his way of life, how he executes his thought process, and how we can learn and try and imply them in our own life. So that is how we can learn. It says, Mahajana Yegata Sampanta. We have to follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans. So the first thing we can learn from this particular verse is that Maharaj Yudhishthira was always respectful to his elders. So you might think that's not such a big thing. But actually, if you look at society nowadays, there's very, very little respect for the elders. So I was speaking with one congregational member, and then I was saying, what's your business? What's your occupation? And he says, I'm doing nursing homes. And then I said, how is business? He says, business is booming. It's doing really, really well. I said, oh, I'm surprised there's so many nursing homes. No, 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 no. My nursing homes are in Poland. I said, Poland? He said, yeah, 10, 15 years ago, there was no nursing homes in Poland. And now all of a sudden, there's a need for nursing homes in Poland. Because the culture in Poland, in many places, like the Vedic culture in India, the elders are always respected. But now, with the modernization, with people wanting to enjoy their own life, they want to have these nursing homes, and then they just want to put the elders in the nursing homes. So this is a new phenomena that's happening now in Poland. It wasn't a culture like that before. So it is very important that we actually look after and treat our elders very, very nicely. So there's different reasons why we look after our elders. What are some of the reasons why we look after our elders? Shastra says that, yeah? Prabhuji? Yes, so it is an ungrateful person that someone spends so much time looking after you, then you don't show the same kind of love towards them. If you look at the cycle of birth, we kind of come out of the womb and we kind of all like small bending over, then we grow tall and then again we start to shrink and bend over and we go back to baby kind of situation. So when we were babies, we were looked after by our elders, and now that they're kind of in a baby situation, it's a reversal of situation, so we look after them. And the prime reason, Gaudiya Prabhu said, is the experience, the wealth of knowledge that we can learn from them. This day and age, youngsters, they don't want to listen to their elders. There was a big sign in the shop saying, a full set of encyclopedia for sale. Reason for sale? Teenager knows everything. So that's the situation at the moment, that we don't want to learn from other people's kind of experience. Particularly, they have kind of learned through the hard knocks of life. And if we're able to listen to them, then we can learn something from them. And hopefully, we can avoid making the same mistakes. So yes, it is very important that we look after our elders and particularly devotees. As they're starting to get a little bit older, we should always care for them and take very, very good care of them. So that's the one quality we can learn from Maharaj Yudhishthira. Okay, so then from the purport also, it's explaining how Maharaj Yudhishthira didn't see the bad. So what's another thing that we can learn from Maharaj Yudhishthira? So one is that he looked after and respected his elders. What's the second thing we can learn from him? Yeah, truthfulness, yeah. In regard to this kind of purport. Prabhuji? Yeah, so you kind of look into yourself. So what I was looking for here was that he does not hold a grudge. So although in the purport, Prabhupada explains that Dhritarashtra and his son tried so hard to kill the Pandavas, still Yudhishthira Maharaj, he did not hold a grudge. So that, again, is a very, very, very tall order. It's so hard in our day-to-day dealings. It's so hard when we brush so close in our community. We know each other's faults. We know each other's kind of shortcomings. We always tend to find some kind of faults or some grudge or something like that. But Maharaj Yudhishthira, he did not hold any grudge against anyone. Now, somewhat might think, well, you know, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he's very elevated. He's like a very, very pure devotee. He's a personal associate of Krishna. So, yeah, maybe his kind of qualities are a bit up there and we're kind of down over here, you know. So it's a little bit kind of hard for us to kind of look up to those kind of qualities. But actually, I was reading this one article, there was one kind of a group you might have heard called the Amish group. Have you heard of the Amish group? They have the same kind of understanding, live very simple, not kind of living on modern technology and things like that. They live very, very simple, basic kind of life, living off the land and the animals and things like that. So then there was this one situation where this one guy, he was a little bit crazy, and he went to this Amish community and he shot one young girl. True story. And then eventually they caught this person, and then obviously they wanted to prosecute this person. Now here's the interesting part, that the parents of the child forgave the person who killed their child. So normally when someone does harm to us, or when someone takes the life of our dear one, we want to make sure that they get punishment. We want to make sure that they are dealt with the heavy law of the punishment. But here this person did not hold a grudge. So even in our modern day, we see human beings can be forgiving. We can see that it is possible not to hold a grudge. So in our day-to-day life, we have to be very, very careful that even though we associate with each other, we don't see each other just as a human beings. We don't just see each other as male and female. We see each other as devotees. Yes, we have many, many shortcomings. Yes, we have many, many faults. Yes, we're not the most perfect person. But unfortunately, that's the body that we are dealt with. That's the body that we have. And we have to try and overlook those faults as Maharaj Yudhishthira is doing. It's not an easy thing. I'm the first person to raise my hand up to say it's always so easy to try and find faults. So one day I was with Akhandadi. We were somewhere in Leeds in Bradford and we were doing Sankirtan. And then the marathon had just finished. So we had to drive down 3 hours all the way down to the manor. So then Akhandadi, Prabhuji, he says, so 3 hours, what do you want to do, Mr.? And I said, I'm not sure. What do you suggest? He said, this is what we should do. He said, let's take every devotee at the manor and let's see the good qualities in these devotees. So then one by one, we took all different devotees and we spoke about Shruti Prabhu, we spoke about Dwarka Prabhu, and all the way, all the different devotees, we started talking about them. And by the time 3 hours had gone, our car was floating 4 inches off the ground. Because it's such a wonderful experience, just talking wonderful things about devotees. It's a very, very inspiring thing. Yes, they might have this. Yes, might have these other things. But only try and see the good in the devotees. There's a story where one leader, he went to complain to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. He said, this devotee, Sam and Gopinath, they're always like, you know, fighting in the ashram and Sam's always stealing the rubbery and stuff like that. He doesn't want to share with anyone. And Sutapa, this is such a headache for me to deal with these two devotees. I can't reason with them. And then Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, all right, so tell me something good about Gopinath Prabhu. And the devotee said, well, he does this, he gets up, he's very, very diligent. You always see him concentrating on his rounds. And then say something nice about, what is the good thing about Sam? And then he started saying some good thing about the devotee. So in this way, the devotees were saying all good things. And then afterwards, Bhaktisiddhanta, he looked at the devotees. And then the devotees said, okay, there's nothing else to be said. So they just went away. So in this way, we just try and find the good in the devotees. And this is what Yudhishthira Maharaj did. He did not see that this man tried to kill me. He did not see this man tried to usurp my throne. He only see the good that when we were young, when we were homeless, they took good care of us. So in our day-to-day life, in our day-to-day dealings, I know we will not see eye to eye. I know we will have differences in life, but we have to try and only see the good. As hard as it may be, then we can have a nice, loving society, living together in peace and harmony. Lord Chaitanya's one of his three principles was Jiva Doya. We must have compassion. And sometimes I find it so hard. In fact, I get really baffled how sometimes uncompassionate devotees can be. They can be quite harsh critics. I don't do it myself. But if you go on internet, you just find them just knocking each other, this, that, you know. And it's a field of offenses. It's a field of just apparat, people just wanting to just state their opinion and just wanting to say things. We might have not made the right choice. Yeah, we might not have made the right decision. But why just bring it out? Why just like look at that, you know? We're all trying to make an endeavor over here. We're all trying to be devotees in one way or another. Just try and help each other. And when you try help each other, then actually we can have a much, much more loving relationship. So then that's one thing. We don't hold a grudge against each other. So that's another quality. Respect our elders, not to hold a grudge. What's another quality that we can learn from Maharaj Yudhishthira? Yes? Yes, he only sees the faults. So you know the saying, you finding faults and pointing to someone, but actually there's three fingers pointing to us. So that devotee might have one fault, but we have three faults. So we have to be careful not to find faults. The one I was thinking was that Maharaj Yudhishthira, he doesn't take any insults personally. So there was a situation when Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was incognito and he was living in the kingdom of Virat. And there he was an advisor to King Virat. And then at one point they were playing, and then every time Maharaj Yudhishthira was winning, and Virat was getting very, very upset. Isn't it? I don't know if you as a kid ever played games with your siblings or your friends. Every time you lose, who's a bad loser here? I'm a real bad loser. So no one wants to lose, yeah? Everyone wants to be the winner. Everyone wants to be the top. Everyone wants to be number one. Everyone wants to be the champion, the gold medalist. So, Virat, he was a sore loser. Every time Yudhishthira Maharaj defeated him, he didn't like it. And at one point he got so angry that he was losing that he took the dice and he threw it at Maharaj Yudhishthira. And he says the sharp end of Maharaj Yudhishthira, the sharp end of the dice hit the forehead of Maharaj Yudhishthira and it drew blood. It drew blood. Now the scriptures explain that if you draw the blood of a saintly person, then seven generations of your kingdom are going to be in a very, very inauspicious situation. So never, never draw the blood of a saintly person. Not recommended. So then, what did Maharaj Yudhishthira do? Did he retaliate? Did he get angry? You know, if someone throws something at us, never mind like a verbal abuse, if someone throws at us and draws blood, how are we going to react? How are we going to kind of be in that same situation? You know, it's like when you're driving, you know, sometimes your worst part comes out. Isn't it like sometimes when you kind of give way to someone and if they don't say thank you, wave. I know I get really upset. What? I gave them away and they didn't say thank you. Or if someone cuts you off or something like that. And then, our false ego comes out like anything when we're driving. Our real nature comes out when we test it. When everything's honky-dory, when everything's going nicely, when there's loads of pakoras and paneer on our plate, the best comes out of us. But when we test, when we put in a position that we're not happy or we don't know how to deal with, then that's the real you going to come out. And at that point, how are you going to deal with the situation? And immediately the first thing that comes up when you're confronted, when you're in an edge, is what? Anger is the first thing. It's your first mechanism of defense, isn't it? When you're accosted, when you're insulted, when you're like, you know, not happy with a particular person or situation, anger is the first thing that comes out. And anger is your defense mechanism. And that's the first thing that you do. You just chuck out insults or you physically go. I saw once with my own eyes right over there in the corridor, one devotee, he pushed in the queue. And then the other devotee got really upset and he just literally just pushed him and he went flying across. That's just because he pushed in the queue. So then, like, because we want to be the first in prasadam, because we want to taste the prasadam, if someone cuts us off, then maybe our nature will come out. How are we going to deal with that situation? So Maharaj Yudhishthira showed the perfect example that you just stay calm. He didn't in any way retaliate. I remember one time, I think it was me and Godruma, and we were on Sankirtan once, and then we were up in north somewhere, and then we were at the end. What happens? You just try and meet up. They drop you off different streets, and you just kind of meet up in a certain place, and then you wait for the van to come and pick you up. So this was about 10 o'clock at night, you know. No sadhu should be out at 10 o'clock at night, not on the street anyway. So we were there, me and Godruma, a few other devotees, Sakya Ras Prabhuji. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, we saw about 15 people coming towards us. And then we kind of looked at each other. And they were skinheads. So then they came towards us. And of course, we were dressed in devotee clothes and things like that. And they came towards us and they saw us. And they started making fun of us and they started pushing us. And of course, there was only three or four of us and there were so many of them and there was nothing we could do, you know. So in that kind of situation, we were wondering what to do. We were kind of put in a situation where there's no way you could fight all the skinheads. A very angry bunch of people, you know. Got nothing better to do in life than go and just harass people, particularly the Hare Krishnas. So then we were thinking we were going to get our head beaten up like anything. But then all of a sudden another group of people came and there were a bunch of ladies, punk rocker ladies. And they saw that the skinheads were like, you know, pushing us around and shouting and screaming at us. They came in between us and the skinheads. And they started shouting at the skinheads, leave the Hare Krishnas alone. They're good people. And they started pushing them. And when you have the wrath of a woman, you want to go the other way. You don't want to deal with that. So then the skinheads, even though they were more in number, this with the Mohican kind of haircut and whatever, you know, some sight to just behold, they just like, you know, told the skinheads to go away. So in this way, Krishna sent another bunch of people just to protect us. So we should just be tolerant, even if we kind of push to the edge. We should never take violence as a way to try and defend ourselves. Only if it's like a necessary situation like in Arjuna. So when we are insulted, there's three types of insults that are generally been dished out. There's the mana in the mind. Then there's the verbal and there's physical. So we know that famous story when Bhriga Muni, he was going to the different personalities, the three different personalities to try and find out what kind of consciousness they were in or what kind of mode they were in. So then when he went to Lord Brahma, so Brahma was the father of Bhrigu. So normally when you go and see your father, what do you normally do? Abhi, what do you normally go and do when you go and see your father? Again, you acknowledge him, isn't it? Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki. So you acknowledge your father, your superior. So when Bhrigu, when he went over there, what did he do? He just ignored him. He just walked right past you. So if you went to see your father and you went straight into your bedroom and ignored him, do you think he'll be happy? Of course not. Hey, Abhi, get down here. So, that's an offense. Just by ignoring someone who's like superior, we are talking about someone who's elder. So then Brahma, he took offense. So then he chastised him. But Brahma controlled himself, because you're my son. Sometimes when a child does something, then father doesn't get too upset, but he tries to correct him. Then he went to see Lord Shiva. Then when he went to see Lord Shiva is the son of Brahma. Bhrigu is the son of Brahma. What does Bhrigu and Shiva's relationship become? Brothers. So they're brothers. So when you go and see your brother or siblings, so what do you normally do? You greet them. You hug them. You're happy to see them. When Lord Shiva wanted to see Bhrigu, he was really happy to see Bhrigu. Then he wanted to embrace him. And then as soon as Lord Shiva wanted to embrace Bhrigu, Bhrigu said, cha-cha-cha-cha, nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee. Don't come anywhere near me. You haven't taken a bath. You got all ashes all over you. You could do with a bit of BO or something like that, you know, deodorant. He didn't want to embrace. So in this way, he verbally insulted Lord Shiva. So there's the mana insult, and then he verbally insulted Lord Shiva. So Brahma just chastised him, says, on your way, son. Then Lord Shiva, he was not having this. So he got insulted, and what came out of Lord Shiva? Anger. Remember I said anger is the first thing when someone upsets you? Then Lord Shiva became very angry. Then he got his trick shoe, he got his trident, and he was about to kill his own brother. And then Parvati said, no, don't kill him. It's your brother. Don't take this insult seriously. And it took Parvati to calm him down. And then he went to see Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, he's lying down there. And then Bhrigu, he went there. And then he went and kicked Lord Vishnu on the chest. So mana offense, then verbal offense. And Bhrigu, then he did a physical offense. So the offenses are getting higher and higher. So as offenses are getting higher, you're noticing that people are reacting in a different way. So Lord Shiva is very, very angry. Each offense is getting more and more kind of grave. So by the time he got to physical, it's the highest kind of offense. So you would have thought Lord Vishnu would be really upset at this point and ready to pull out his chakra. But do you think the Lord was ready to pour out his chakra? No. He did exactly what Maharaj Yudhishthira did. He didn't find any fault. In fact, he said, I'm so sorry, your soft, lotus, saintly-like feet might have been too soft for my hard chest. And he started massaging his feet. So this is the attitude that we should have, that if someone insults us, we should take the path of Yudhishthira Maharaj, the path of Lord Vishnu. As hard as it may seem, it says that if you can wear an insult, then it's like wearing gold ornament. We like wearing gold, isn't it? Everyone likes to wear gold, shine off, you know, nice. You look very majestic wearing nice gold. It brings out your good self. So when you wear an insult, then it's like wearing gold ornaments. So not to take them very, very seriously. Obviously, it's easier said than done. So that's one thing. Don't take insults very, very seriously. And another quality that Maharaj Yudhishthira had, obviously there's so many. Time is very, very limited. Any other quality? Sorry? Okay, in a few minutes. Another quality? He was very, very knowledgeable. He spent a lot of his time with the sages. So we know another famous story that when he went in the forest, they were all very, very, very thirsty. And then he sent his brothers to try and get some water from a pond over there. And each time the brother wanted to drink the water, Yaksha said, "You can have this water, but answer my questions." But their thirst was so strong that they just drank the water, and then they all died. Then finally, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he went, and then the Yaksha said, "Yes, you can have this water, but answer some of my questions." So then Maharaj Yudhishthira answered many of the questions. So I was thinking that maybe the last few minutes we can see what kind of knowledge you have, to see if you can also answer maybe or give some kind of insight to your maybe understanding of some of the answers here. So I'll ask you a few questions, if I can find it here. Just give me a second. So Maharaj Yudhishthira, there's one famous one that's always quoted. So this is a couple of the questions that Maharaj Yudhishthira was asked by the Yaksha, and see what kind of answers we come up with. So one of the questions, who is a real helpful companion? Anyone know who is a real helpful companion in life? Who is a companion who's very helpful? Steady intelligence. If you have steady intelligence, then that will get you through in your different ups and downs in life. How can someone acquire anything great in life? How can we acquire anything great in life? By performing austerities. If we perform austerities in life, then we can acquire whatever we want. So in Krishna consciousness, we have certain austerities we have to perform. So if we perform austerities, then we can get whatever we want. If we're lazy, you will get nothing in life. What is amrit? What is nectar in life? Anyone? What is nectar in life? Sutapa? Krishna? Yeah. What is nectar in life? Milk. So yeah, we know it's the holy name, we know it's Krishna, but milk. The reason why it is milk is from milk, you can make wonderful preparations. And one of the preparations, it explains, is you can make butter, and butter is used for offering sacrifices in the ghee, in food preparation, and offer to Krishna. If you can get ghee, beg, borrow, or steal, somehow or another get some ghee. So milk is nectar. We are given many, many, friends in our life. Who is the best friend that is given to us? Some of this might not apply to some of our devotees, but who is the best friend given to us, according to Maharaj Yudhishthira? Yeah? Yes. The wife is the best friend, because she is known as Dharmapatni. She knows, she is in contact with, as we were discussing once, they're very, very religiously minded. So the wife is the best friend, the best companion. What is the best happiness in life? What is the best happiness in life? Anyone? If you want to find happiness in life, the best happiness is contentment. If you're happy with what you have, if you're happy with the situation you have, you will not worry about your next door neighbor, what they have. It doesn't matter, they've got a nice, big, spanking Mercedes. If you're happy with your kind of, three-wheeler, Hari Om Tat Sat. Thanks for that. Contentment is the true way to find happiness. You might not have what the other person has, but if you're happy what you have, then you will find happiness in life. So who should you forsake in life? Who should you forsake in life? Lust and greed. These two personalities, don't let them in your house. What is the king of knowledge? Everyone should know this one. What is the king of knowledge? Transcendental knowledge. That knowledge that leads you to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the king of knowledge. What one leads to hell? What does lead one? Yes? Lust, anger, and greed. Yeah. What leads one to hell? That if you say you will do something to a devotee and you don't do it, that will lead you to... So if Sutapa says, Cyrus, you mind cleaning the temple? And you say, yeah, no problem. And then in that, you don't do it. Not a good thing. So if someone says to do it, please do it. Otherwise, it's not very, very good. Then, what is true happiness? True happiness is to cook your own food. So if you cook your own food because you know what's going in there, you know the consciousness is going. So I said earlier on in another class, the best food is to have the food of a Brahmin. So the Brahmin, he knows how to cook with the right consciousness. And of course, the most famous one that we always quote, Sutapa Prabhu, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? Prabhuji? Yes, so what's the Sanskrit, Prabhu? So Prabhupada gives the example, there's an animal going to the slaughterhouse and there's another one just eating the nice, lovely grass, not seeing that he is going to be the next person. So yes, as Kodrama pointed out, there's death surrounding us everywhere. And I have to say, I am the biggest Muddha in this situation. Why? Because I know there's so much death everywhere, but am I taking advantage of the devotees? Am I coming to the morning program? No. So yeah, that is the power of illusion. That is how strong illusion is. That even though we know that this is our destination, we don't take advantage of it. And I am the first one to acknowledge that I am not taking situation that's in front of us and use it to our advantage. Anyway, so I hope this was some way a little bit useful. We can learn a little bit about Maharaj Yudhishthira. Thank you for your time. Any question, comments or corrections?
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. You mentioned one of the qualities of Yudhishthira Maharaj was he didn't see the faults in others, but he saw the faults in himself. So when does that become very harmful to one's life in the sense of, you know, you're not looking into others, but you're just, you know, putting yourself down, you know, I'm so bad. I did this. You can't like become self-absorbed, and it's actually harmful for spiritual life. So where's the kind of like the borderline, or how to make that into a real sense of humility and not self-absorption.
So that's a very, very good point. So we can't just go around moping all day, oh, woe is me kind of thing, you know. So we acknowledge we have some kind of faults and things like that, you know. And we just learn how to kind of rectify them and make them better. And then just go on the positive. We see, like, in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur particularly, if you read the translation of Gopinath, he is doing exactly the same thing. He's finding his own faults. But at the same time, even though he's finding his own faults, he's still progressing in his Krishna consciousness. He's still carrying on doing his Namahata, still doing. So the idea is, yes, we do find our shortcomings, but that doesn't stop us from still progressing in Krishna consciousness, carrying on doing our activities. So we do try and self-analyze a little bit, but don't let that become your only kind of goal. Then you'll be just stuck in a rut. We just try and improve our situation and then just try and go forward in a positive kind of way. Utsahan. Utsahan is very, very important quality. If we don't have utsahan, then we become a little bit dry. So Krishna consciousness is full of utsahan.
But thinking about contemplating on, you know, your faults or what you did wrong and this and that. So how do you actually remain positive and get that determination?
So say for example you do something wrong, then you analyze it, then you just correct it. So if you have a certain fault, so say like just say for example one of your faults is like you like eating too much. We all like eating too much, isn't it? So then one of the things you do, okay, that's one of my faults. I like eating too much. There's plenty of paneer going around. So then like Prabhuji said to me, okay, now there's too much going down. So I just reduce it now. And then in that way, you're improving your own kind of fault by just reducing something. And then you're making yourself into a better devotee. So whatever faults we might see or analyze, then you reveal your mind. Rupa Goswami says, you find some person that you can reveal your mind to, and then they can help you. Okay, you might not able to see it, and someone else might able to see it. And they say, Prabhu, I think this will help you in your life. And then you take that advice and guidance and try and improve in that way. Is that okay? Any other points, question? Godruma Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice class. It's always entertaining.
I'm not sure if it's meant to be entertaining or kind of, you know, spiritual realization, but anyway, I leave that for you.
You were making some nice, interesting points about Maharaj Yudhisthir. So just a few points which I kind of remember. We look for faults in others and things like that. So I heard once that we should not be like a fly that looks for sores, you know.
Yeah.
But it should be like the honeybee that looks for the nectar, you know.
Yeah.
So and become the honeybee, that means you look for the good qualities in others, you know.
Yeah.
And then in English there's a statement, it says, first take the log out of your own eye before you take the splinter out of somebody else's. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, like devotees say, like to others, oh, you know, you've got this fault, this and this. It's like, you know, you're covered in dirt, you know. But we are here and we're practicing devotional service and we're in the right place. So you can say, well, yeah, I might be covered in dirt, but I'm in the shower, you know. So it's only a matter of time if I continue.
Yeah.
Or like another way to explain it is that, you know, you might be have some disease or illness, but if you're in a hospital, then you're in the right place. You know? Thank you.
This reminds me of a story. It's a very nice story. I think this will really help us analyze the situation. Just give me 2 minutes, Prabhu. So there was this one king. He was a very, very pious king, and he daily would feed the sadhus, the Brahmins, every single day. So his first thing, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, his charity was to give to the Brahmins. So the cooks would cook, and then he personally would serve prasadam to all the sadhus, you know, like they do in Vrindavan. They come and give khichdi like Rupa Raghunath. So then what happened? This one sadhu, he came and he took this bowl of khichdi. Then as he was taking this bowl of khichdi, up in the sky, there was an eagle. An eagle had just caught a snake. And by the claws, the snake was dying. And it spat out some venom. And that venom went into the bowl of the khichri, unknown to the sadhu. And the sadhu, he took that khichri and he died. So then Chitragupta and Yamaraj were having a discussion. Who is responsible for the sin of killing that Brahmin? Okay, is it the king? He gave the khichri. Then is the sin to the eagle? Because the eagle was the one who put the snake over. No, it's dharma. It needs to eat. All right, it's the snake. It's the fault of the snake because the poison came out. The snake should get the karma of killing the sadhu. Said, no. It's the nature of the snake to have poison. Then they were baffled, and for days they don't know. The king is a nice guy. We can't give him the sin of killing a Brahmin. So then they waited a few days. Then a sadhu, he came by, another sadhu, and he asked this lady, and asked this lady, he said, I heard there's a king over here, and he's very, very kind king, and he gives free food to the sadhus. And the lady said, yes, but be careful, he kills the sadhus by giving poison food. And Yamaraj looked, this lady should take the sin of killing the Brahmin. She saw the fault in the king. This lady should take the sin of the Brahmin for trying to find fault in the king. Krantarashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.